Welcome to season 14 of Digital Learning Radio. I'm Laura, and I am overjoyed to be joined by my co-host, Catherine.
Hello.
This season of the podcast, we're continuing conversations of sharing what is inspiring us on our ongoing story of learning. We're back to Catherine to share this week, and I am truly looking forward to hearing what's been inspiring her.
Well, hooray, and I think you're going to really enjoy this week's share. I also want to hear more from you too. So last week you talked to us about transactional versus transformative learning. How are those next steps going, Laura? Any updates?
Well, I think my next steps are still in the works, but definitely on my mind. I have made a few small tweaks to a couple of different sessions, actually, that I'm facilitating next week to include an intentional pause to share that time out for transparency thinking with a quick rundown of why and how I chose a particular tech tool for a specific activity. And then I know you and I had a planning meeting for a session that we're designing together for next month, and you shared that you actually did so much better on my next steps than I did. You created specific slides to highlight your behind the scenes thinking, and I know that you said you received some really great feedback after doing that. So we are planning to do the same for the session that we are building out together.
I think it's a common practice that we both just say something out loud, take a pause for time out for transparency. But my new step was adding that specific slide. And one of my participants, who is a professional learning coordinator, she said, I loved seeing that text on the screen. And I used a different color as the slide deck shade. So it really stood out. And then I did that several times throughout the day. So that was inspired by you and last week's episode as well.
Well, I'll just add that to my list of next steps to keep working on. Speaking of that, I have yet to introduce and reference the 4E's framework, but I do think I have a few opportunities coming up that might be a good fit for doing that. So as ever, stay tuned for next steps in process.
I can't wait. I know you're going to find some places to share that.
Yeah, I am.
Well, before I get into my share, what's your quick win of inspiration, Laura?
So this week, I am inspired by a tweet, or whatever it is we call it these days. And this kind of just caught my eye. It is a quick connection exercise for getting to know group members. And I hadn't seen this one before. And so the tweet features a picture of a printed out page that has a square block of probably 50 emojis, mostly faces. And the tweet reads, students in Ms. Paolo's classroom were given 15 minutes to find as many things that they had in common as possible, and then display those commonalities using emojis. Oh. So in the picture on Twitter, you see several emojis that are circled with a line, drawing with an arrow to the margin that points to a written explanation of that group commonality. So for example, there's like the wide-eyed emoji circled and they've written, "We all love scary movies." Or the thumbs up emoji has a line that says, "We all have good grades." And so I know as PD facilitators, we often work with groups of people who don't know each other and who are also being asked by us to really dig in and work together as collaborative partners. So connection and belonging are integral to the work that we do and the spaces that we try to cultivate. So all of that to say, I love this idea. I think there are many ways you could use it and tweak it for your group content purpose. So definitely a quick win that I think I'm going to try out soon.
Well, I'm an emoji person, so sure. I absolutely love this idea, and what a fun way to build community. So add a little playfulness again and a way to design for belonging. So excellent find. Thank you for sharing.
Hooray. All right, Catherine, it is time. Let us hear what's been inspiring you this week.
Okay.
Just like always, I'll invite you to consider the what, so what, and now what of your share to guide our conversation. So take it away, Catherine, to tell us what is inspiring you to learn this week.
Today is an Inspire to Learn series first because Laura, your share last week inspired me so much, and the ideas in that article seem to align exactly with our vision of the future of education. So I'm sharing even more about the article you shared last week, Differentiated Learning and Technology, a Powerful Combination.
Hooray!
Your episode last week focused on the transformative use of technology and using that 4E framework. And I'm going to dig into that differentiated instruction side of things.
Oh, I am so excited. And when I saw this was the title of the episode you were bringing, I was delighted to have the opportunity to go deeper in this article. I think I said last week, there's so much more and I just got to stop talking or I'm going to keep talking for several hours. So I'm so glad that we're able to pick it back up and focus on an entirely different part that I didn't even touch on last week. So let's pull up that timer and in 60 seconds or less, give us the gist to tell us about differentiated learning and technology.
Okay. So in the ASCD article, Differentiated Learning and Technology, a Powerful Combination, the authors, Drs. Claire Kilbane and Natalie Millman, say differentiated instruction can powerfully guide the integration of technology to promote more equitable, efficient, effective, and engaging learning. The authors briefly remind us of the elements of differentiated instruction and then describe those 4 E's that you discussed last week. So those again, equitable, efficient, effective, and engaging. I know the idea of differentiation is a core to so many of our standards and district initiatives. And the Drs. Kilbane and Millman say, when you add technology to the differentiated instruction equation, that can help us move towards those transformative learning experiences, which will help students create real world skills that will benefit them throughout their education, life, and careers. So almost a minute, but so close.
So close. And I feel myself getting excited hearing you summarize this. And I am so excited to dive further. So tell us more to answer so what about the idea of differentiated learning and technology that is inspiring you.
Well, Laura, last week you mentioned that you love this article and said, where has this been all my life? I feel the same way. During the last years in my previous district, our focus was differentiated instruction. And instructional leadership teams attended a 3-day institute at the University of Virginia with the Carol Ann Tomlinson. And that's when I became a huge fan of her work. And one of my very first TCEA presentations was using technology to support differentiated instruction.
Ah, okay.
And that became my very first workshop as a Region 10 consultant with Dallas ISD. So this article affirms my work, combines favorite topics, and inspires me to expand my ideas.
I love that. I love the full circle. And yes, I'll ask again, where has this article been all my life? I love all of those connections. So in my episode last week, I didn't even touch on the differentiated instruction aspect of this article or just in general. I know that that is definitely one of your favorite topics. So will you give us a little bit more about Carol Ann Tomlinson, her framework, and just more about differentiated instruction?
Okay, so Dr. Tomlinson says differentiation is a proactive approach to designing instruction that meets individual needs. The framework includes guiding principles while keeping learners' needs at the forefront. Teachers can differentiate through content, process, product, affect, and environment. Content refers to the actual subject matter. Process is how learners take in that information. Product is how learners show what they know. And affect and environment refer to the climate and tone of the room. So these principles are all in response to the learner's readiness, interest, and learning profile. differentiating according to readiness promotes growth. And when you differentiate according to a learner's interest, that increases motivation. And when you differentiate according to learning profiles, that improves efficiency. The ASED article references the framework and shares examples of differentiation through all of these elements. This summer, I touched on the whole framework. It's shown as a giant concept map, and it kind of is overwhelming to participants. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I said, no, we're focusing on this one little square today. Mm-hmm. So it is a lot to take in if this is a new topic, but I think a lot of people are familiar with content, process, and product.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Excellent. Thorough refresher. So my next question then is, how does the technology piece play a role in the framework?
The authors of that article, Dr. Kilbane and Dr. Millman, say the goals of instruction, particularly those of differentiated instruction, should drive the design of learning experiences and technology's integration within it. In your episode last week, Laura, you shared the author's thinking about teachers as designers, mm-hmm. and I keep reflecting on all of our discussions about focusing on the intentionality of our technology choices. Mm-hmm. I often say my goal is to help empower learners to integrate technology in meaningful ways. But now, if I'm considering that phrase, meaningful ways, and along with the lens of differentiated instruction, meaningful becomes even more powerful, which I hope leads to the transformation piece. Mm-hmm. As an example, Laura, do a little bit of retrieval practice.
Okay.
Remember one of our very first collaborations was a webinar that we called Designing Learning for Choice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we wanted participants to learn about a learning theory, and we differentiated the learning process, how they were learning that information, according to learning profiles. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Participants could choose to read an article, watch a video, listen to a podcast clip, or search Google themselves to learn mm-hmm. that content. We never used the word differentiation in that webinar, sure. but that's what we were doing.
Yeah, so yeah.
Then we differentiated the product. We wanted the participants to show what they learned, and they created a slide in a collaborative slide deck mm-hmm. based on their preferences from that theory they studied. So again, they were differentiated according to learning profiles. Whew, that's a lot, but they took in information with choice mm-hmm. and they showed what they learned
sure.
with choice. So I think this activity is a great example of differentiation and technology. So let's see if we can combine our learning from your episode last week and these ideas. Laura, let's evaluate this little session using that 4E's framework that you mentioned last week. How do you feel about that?
I feel like my brain is activated. I am using that retrieval practice. That is a webinar from 2020. Mm-hmm. So as you're describing it, I'm like, oh yes, I remember this now. I remember my episode from last week. So thanks for making me work for it today.
Always, but
No, I think that's a great idea to revisit that session through this lens. So let's dive in. That first E in the 4E framework was equitable. So does use of a certain technology promote more equitable opportunities without adding additional barriers? How do we do with that one with this webinar back in 2020?
What I was thinking is, do you remember in early 2020, we had very frequent bandwidth issues? Mm-hmm. Another education leader, Ken Shelton, talks about techquity. Can mm-hmm. our learners access the technology in the same way? Some people who may have been watching and could not access a video, for instance, sure. because of the bandwidth issues. So we offered a slide deck they could read, or we offer just text, something that was not going to interfere with just the access, the Wi-Fi sure. connections. I think that was an example of an equitable use of technology.
Being mindful of equity for sure. And something else that we did in those webinars, and I think continue to do, is give people the choice to have their camera on or off.
Oh, yes.
So depending on the space that you're in or the bandwidth that is yes. extra used with your camera on, we were really intentional to give that as an option.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm thinking about that. And then I'm also thinking about, I'm also thinking about our intentional moves to provide good PD for educators as learners, but we also had maybe a hidden agenda to showcase something that teachers could turn around with students mm-hmm, because it mm-hmm. was 2020 and everyone was facilitating online learning. And so us being intentional about having choice in equity, we wanted that for our participants, but we also wanted them to have that with the students in their classes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That reminds me, one other thing that we did intentionally about the design is we shared all of those resources as a single link in a slide. So mm-hmm. it was very easy to access that way. They could open the slide in another tab and just select one link. And so thinking about, you know, if you tried to pop five links into a Zoom chat, how confusing sure. that is. So just easy access to those materials.
Nice. Okay, let's jump into that second E in the 4E framework, efficient. Does using the technology save time, energy, or other resources?
Because we allowed that choice for how they access the information, we were differentiating by learner profile, and that always improves efficiency. We only gave 5 minutes for each of these activities. So I think this E is a check plus. Mm-hmm. If you always want to read the text, then I could easily select that link, read the text, get that information in the format that works for me. So that mm-hmm. was a check. And then the product showing what they know, again, we gave them that choice by learner profile mm-hmm. and the task was something that resonated with them. Mm-hmm. And so that makes the work very efficient when you're differentiating by learner profile.
I'm focusing in on this word energy. Does it save energy? And I am remembering mm-hmm. back in 2020 where, mm-hmm. man, the screen and the Zoom was depleting all of my energy. And so mm-hmm. sometimes I was like, man, if I have to go into another breakout room and have an unorganized conversation, like my energy is gone. Or if I have to stay in this room and listen to the presenter talk at me for 40 minutes, like, that is not saving my energy. And so knowing that they went into breakout rooms based on their learner mm-hmm. profile, so all mm-hmm. the creative people were in mm-hmm. one yep. room getting hype together, and then the mm-hmm. analytical people were in another room, like, thank goodness I'm not paired up with the creative people maybe.
Exactly.
And so I think that maybe more than I realized was efficient in saving mm-hmm. certainly time, but I also think energy as well.
Oh, that is such a good point. When you are an analytical person, don't ask me to write a poem or create sure. a meme sure. about something. So really lessening the cognitive load. Mm-hmm. I can do bullet point list. I can create definitions. So yeah, great addition there, Laura, with the energy.
Okay, check us out. Mm-hmm. The third E in the 4E framework is effective. Does the technology make learning more effective for all or some students?
So this was the E that was a little bit more challenging, but as we're having this discussion, now I'm thinking that we can check this one off. The participants seem to understand the content. So the mode that they chose allowed them to have a successful conversation about what they learned.
Sure.
And they could complete the next activity successfully. We saw evidence of that on their slides that they finished. So I think those modes were effective. What do you think?
Sure. Well, and I'm thinking they are effective based on the design of the webinar, which was all about choice. So hopefully you chose an effective input of information based on your preference. So hopefully you chose to read because you were tired of watching videos, or vice versa. And so hopefully your choice just kind of naturally made getting that input of information effective. And then the same is true for the output, because you were in your own choice of learner profile. So yeah, I think so. Also, maybe an asterisk that it was 2020 and we were forced to use all tech all the time. And so we were making it as effective as possible. All right. The final E is engaging. Does the technology stimulate students' attention and motivation? And by the way, I just love the phrasing of that question.
This one, again, I'm thinking, maybe. I guess the teachers were so interested in using technology and designing for choice and having that autonomy to choose the format. I think that is a little bit more engaging. If I want to learn something, give me a book, give me an article, and I'm in. So again, the choice with learner profile is motivating for me.
Yeah, I think I agree. And again, you've really got me thinking and back in this, what it was like in 2020 kind of mode. And again, our idea was to provide information for the educators that attended the webinar, but also hoping that they could do a similar thing with their students. And so we know that having technology used in engaging ways was something that kind of waned or was a real struggle over time. And so hopefully providing this choice was engaging to the participants on the webinar, because first of all, it wasn't just one, you know, talking head. We were truly giving that choice, and people were interacting in a variety of things in a variety of modes. And so that was different. And I think stimulated attention. We used our timers, so we kept things moving. Everything was about 5 minutes in length. And so I would say the intention behind each activity and move was designed to be engaging. And then again, if it got flipped to students, would be engaging for them as well. So I'm going to give us a check on that one too.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting me trick you into being part of this episode as well.
I fall for your tricks every time, Catherine. You're so good at just, I don't even see them coming, but you're welcome.
So we incorporated technology that supports differentiated instruction in this webinar, and we achieved those four E's. And I also want to remind you, Laura, we addressed specifically the ISTE standard for educators of designers, which goes back to one of the themes of the article and what you mentioned last week. At the end of that webinar, we asked how our participants' learning is impacted when learner variability is recognized and accommodated. And just like you mentioned, it was probably a very different experience than what they had been used to of sitting and listening for 45 minutes. So yes, we did all this stuff. However, I think our webinar example is more on the transactional side of the continuum rather than transformational. The authors contend that the transformative level transforms learners' beliefs, understandings, and actions. I think this webinar was really just a give and take of information. And so I still need to process how to change learners' beliefs and ways of being, that transformative learning, which you really went into last week. But I wonder if that could truly happen in a 45-minute webinar during 2020.
Fair.
Or even in a summer 3-hour in real life session.
Sure.
But with our conversations, I'm really feeling like I'm on the right track. We're on the right track.
Yeah.
I'm feeling inspired to rethink and expand my ideas. I'm excited about what happens next and what we create. And I love this vision for the future of education and learning.
Absolutely. I love that this is not even a lengthy article. Like, I feel like we need to mention this is not a 10-page article. This is just no, a brief ASCD article. And I love that we've had two really rich conversations on two entirely different focuses of it. And so I really love that and mm-hmm. have enjoyed that for a few weeks now. Mm-hmm. What else would you like to tell us, though, before we start to wrap up?
At the end of the article, the authors say in post-pandemic settings, there is an increased availability of digital tools. Mm-hmm. And that means that teachers no longer need to worry whether the technology will be there to support mm-hmm. learning. Yes, it's there. For the most yeah. part, most of our students in most districts have access to the tools and even now the infrastructure to support sure. that technology. So the technology should not be a question.
Yeah.
So I love that they acknowledge that. The next thing, though, I want to acknowledge that creating these transformational learning experiences with tech and differentiation can take a lot of work. Mm. In The New Pillars of Modern Teaching, the author Gail Allen, who is another one of our edu heroes,
shout out,
mentions the crushing amount of preparation required for differentiated instruction. However, I've been able to use that same slide we started in 2020 and that sure. same format and the set of resources we created in countless ways in many different contexts. And it really didn't take me that long to find those different formats of tools and resources. Yes, it takes a lot of time, but if it's done well, designed well, then you can use it in a lot of different ways. And I think that was our goal. We told them, take the slide, copy it, add your mm-hmm. own content. Mm-hmm. A conversation for another day. I think that using AI tools can reduce some of the burden of creating mm-hmm. these resources. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, future conversation, but throwing sure. that out there. One other pushback about traditional differentiation is that it can be very teacher driven. Mm-hmm. Gail Allen describes traditional classroom teachers as the funnel and filter of the learning. And all of our discussions have been, we want to move towards learner-centered, personalized learning where we leverage the technology to empower learners. Mm-hmm. So perhaps we could have had our participants search Google to learn about this theory. But I think for a 5-minute activity, our curated resources are fine.
I absolutely agree. And something that I am remembering, you really got me in this headspace. Something I'm remembering is in a series of those webinars, we reminded people that they can start small. And so mm-hmm. it is overwhelming to think like, okay, I need 5 different options for differentiated choice for all of my learners. But like you said, it's there. Mm-hmm. But thinking about the time, going back to, I think Catelyn Tucker has a great post of just starting with, would you rather? Mm-hmm. Would you rather read an article or mm-hmm. watch a video? Would mm-hmm. you rather record a video of your thoughts mm-hmm. or write them down? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. that is a helpful way to kind of get going toward this thinking, mm-hmm. to start small and build up as well.
Well, one other comment is Carol Ann Tomlinson says differentiation is a proactive approach. Mm-hmm. And so a smaller step or a small step would be like, I know the students always struggle with this concept or this process or this definition. That's where you start with your differentiation. And that's where you can mm-hmm. have technology for those scaffolds, I think. All right. So one last thing, since I mentioned AI,
sure.
The other thing I wanted to point out is in the same ASCD summer issue, there are several articles about using AI for teaching and learning. And the first article discusses differences between transactional and transformative uses of AI. Mm. So I love these common threads in this issue of educational leadership. And there is so much good information on all of these articles. So I echo what you said last week. This article and this entire issue make me hopeful for the future.
Well said. And thank you again for bringing this back. This was so fun to look at the same piece through two totally different lenses. So I, again, was delighted when I saw the title of the episode and have had so much fun thinking even more deeply about other aspects of it. So let us move on to launch a little bit more thinking, to think about those next steps for applying what we share to consider that now what. So now what? What's next for you and differentiated learning and technology?
First, I have many years of differentiated instruction ideas in my brain. Mm-hmm. So let me lean into that information. I plan to think more intentionally about bringing back differentiation vocabulary in my work. Last week, you mentioned using Padlet. And so I could add something like, I'm inviting you to share your final reflections on this Padlet board. I love using a tool like Padlet because it allows you to differentiate your product according to your learning profile, because you can choose to post your responses in any format.
Ooh, so, that's a good line. I'm going to write that one down.
Also, we frequently refer to Gail Allen's Elements of Powerful Learning Design, which are time, place, medium, and socialness. And that is all differentiating according to learner profile. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. There's another place where I can be intentional about embedding that differentiation vocabulary.
I love that.
And then after my success from episode one of sharing personally the content of the episode with someone who was mentioned, I'm feeling pretty bold about reaching out and sharing our podcast with others. So when this episode airs, I plan to email the links of our two discussions to those professors who wrote this article, Dr. Kilbane and Dr. Millman, and see how I can pre-order their new differentiation and technology book.
Ooh, get it. I like this as a next step. Fantastic. Fantastic. I'm glad you're feeling emboldened. And I know you love to be a book pre-orderer. So I cannot wait to hear how that goes and how it's received. I love it. We'd also like to extend the invitation to you, dear listener, to share your ongoing story of learning as well. Take a moment to pause and think wherever you're listening from and consider, what have you heard today to spark your interest or inspire further thinking about differentiated learning and technology?
You may also find us online at Dig Learn Radio to continue the conversation and share what's inspiring you this week.
This season, we're dedicated to sharing our learning and the things that are inspiring us. We hope that when we share, the conversation and ideas will cultivate curiosity and inspire you to explore one of the resources, reflect on a question we've asked, or continue your own learning journey.
We are, as ever, inspired to learn from Gail Allen and her work in the New Pillars of Modern Teaching. She reminds us that when we share, we add a sentence to the story we communicate about ourselves to the world. Let's continue learning, sharing, and transforming. Let's get inspired.